Paper 28. Ministering Spirits of the Super Universes. As the Supernaphim are the angelic hosts of the central universe, and the Seraphim of the local universes, so are the Sakonaphim the ministering spirits of the super universes. In degree of divinity and in potential of supremacy, however, these children of the reflective spirits are much more like Supernaphim than Seraphim. They serve not alone in the supercreations, and both numerous and intriguing are the transactions sponsored by their unrevealed associates. As presented in these narratives, the ministering spirits of the superuniverses embrace the following three orders. 1. The Sakonaphim. 2. The Tertiaphim. 3. The Omniaphim. Since the latter two orders are not so directly concerned with the ascendant scheme of mortal progression, they will be briefly discussed prior to the more extended consideration of Sakonaphim. Technically, neither Tertiaphim nor Omniaphim are ministering spirits of the superuniverses, though both serve as spirit ministers in these domains. 1. The Tertiaphim. These high angels are of record on the superuniverse headquarters, and despite service in the local creations, technically they are residents of these superuniverse capitals, inasmuch as they are not native to the local universes. Tertiaphim are children of the infinite spirit, and are personalized on paradise in groups of 1,000. These supernal beings of divine originality and near supreme versatility are the gift of the infinite spirit to the creator sons of God. When a Michael son is detached from the parental regime of paradise and is made ready to go forth on the universe adventure of space, the infinite spirit is delivered of a group of 1,000 of these companion spirits, and these majestic Tertiaphim accompany this creator son when he embarks upon the adventure of universe organization. Throughout the early times of universe building, these 1,000 Tertiaphim are the only personal staff of a creator son. They acquire a mighty experience as sun assistants during these stirring ages of universe assembling and other astronomical manipulations. They serve by the side of the creator son until the day of the personalization of the bright and morning star, the firstborn of a local universe. Thereupon, the formal resignations of the Tertiaphim are tendered and accepted, and with the appearance of the initial orders of native angelic life, they retire from active service in the local universe and become the liaison ministers between the creator son of former attachment and the ancients of days of the superuniverse concerned. 2. The Omniaphim. Omniaphim are created by the infinite spirit in liaison with the 7 supreme executives, and they are the exclusive servants and messengers of these same supreme executives. Omniaphim are of grand universe assignment, and in Orvantan, their corps maintains headquarters in the northerly parts of Uversa, where they reside as a special courtesy colony. They are not of registry on Uversa, nor are they attached to our administration. Neither are they directly concerned with the ascendant scheme of mortal progression. The Omniaphim are wholly occupied with the oversight of the superuniverses in the interests of administrative coordination from the viewpoint of the 7 supreme executives. Our colony of Omniaphim on Uversa receives instructions from and makes reports to only the supreme executive of Orvantan, situated on conjoint executive sphere number 7 in the outer ring of Paradise Satellite. 3. The Sakonaphim. The Sekaraphic hosts are produced by the 7 reflective spirits assigned to the headquarters of each superuniverse. There is a definite, paradise-responsive technique associated with the creation of these angels in groups of 7. In each 7, there are always 1 primary, 3 secondary, and 3 tertiary Sakonaphim. They always personalize in this exact proportion. When 7 such Sakonaphim are created, 1, the primary, becomes attached to the service of the Ancients of Days. The 3 secondary angels are associated with 3 groups of Paradise Origin administrators in the supergovernments, the Divine Counselors, the Perfectors of Wisdom, and the Universal Censors. The 3 tertiary angels are attached to the ascendant trinitized associates of the superuniverse rulers, the Mighty Messengers, those high in authority, and those without name and number. These Sakonaphim of the superuniverses are the offspring of the reflective spirits, and therefore reflectivity is inherent in their nature. they are reflectively responsive to all of each phase of every creature of origin in the Third Source and Center and the Paradise Creator Sons. But they are not directly reflective of the beings and entities, personal or otherwise, of soul origin in the First Source and Center. We possess many evidences of the actuality of the universal intelligence circuits of the Infinite Spirit, but even if we had no other proof, the reflective performances of the Sekhanafim would be quite sufficient to demonstrate the reality of the universal presence of the infinite mind of the conjoint actor. 4. The Primary Sekhanafim. The primary Sekhanafim of assignment to the Ancients of Days are living mirrors in the service of these triune rulers. Think what it means in the economy of a superuniverse to be able to turn, as it were, to a living mirror, and therein to see and therewith to hear the certain responses of another being 1,000 or 100,000 light years distant, and to do all this instantly and unerringly. Records are essential to the conduct of the universes, broadcasts are serviceable, the work of the solitary and other messengers is very helpful, but the Ancients of Days, from their position midway between the inhabited worlds and paradise, between man and God, can instantly look both ways, hear both ways, and know both ways. This ability to hear and see, as it were, all things, can be perfectly realized in the superuniverses only by the Ancients of Days, and only on their respective headquarters worlds. Even there, limits are encountered. From Uversa, such communication is limited to the worlds and universes of Orvontan, and while inoperative between the superuniverses, this same reflective technique keeps each one of them in close touch with the central universe and with paradise. The 7 supergovernments, though individually segregated, are thus perfectly reflective of the authority above and are wholly sympathetic as well as perfectly conversant with the needs below. The primary Sekhanafim are found to incline by inherent nature towards 7 types of service, and it is befitting that the first serials of this order should be so endowed as inherently to interpret the mind of the spirit to the Ancients of Days. 1. The voice of the conjoint actor. In each superuniverse, the first primary Sekhanafim and every 7th one of that order subsequently created exhibit a high order of adaptability for understanding and interpreting the mind of the infinite spirit to the Ancients of Days and their associates in the supergovernments. This is of great value on the headquarters of the superuniverses, for unlike the local creations with their divine ministers, the seat of a supergovernment does not have a specialized personalization of the infinite spirit. Hence, these seraphic voices come the nearest to being the personal representatives of the Third Source and Center on such a capital sphere. True, the 7 reflective spirits are there, but these mothers of the seraphic hosts are less truly and automatically reflective of the conjoint actor than of the 7 master spirits. 2. The voice of the 7 master spirits. The 2nd primary Sekhanafim and every 7th one thereafter created incline towards portraying the collective natures and reactions of the 7 master spirits. Though each master spirit is already represented on a superuniverse capital by some one of the 7 reflective spirits of assignment, such representation is individual, not collective. Collectively, they are only reflectively present. Therefore do the master spirits welcome the services of these highly personal angels, the 2nd serials of the primary Sekhanafim, who are so competent to represent them before the Ancients of Days. 3. The voice of the Creator Sons. The infinite spirit must have had something to do with the creation or training of the Paradise Sons of the Order of Michael. For the 3rd primary Sekhanafim and every 7th serial thereafter possess the remarkable gift of being reflective of the minds of these Creator Sons. If the Ancients of Days would like to know, really know, the attitude of Michael of Nebadon regarding some matter under consideration, they do not have to call him on the lines of space. They need only call for the chief of Nebadon voices, who, upon request, will present the Michael Sekhanafim of record, and right then and there, the Ancients of Days will perceive the voice of the Master Son of Nebadon. No other order of sonship is thus reflectable, and no other order of angel can thus function. We do not fully understand just how this is accomplished, and I doubt very much that the Creator Sons themselves fully understand it, but of a certainty we know it works, and that it unfailingly works acceptably, we also know. For in all the history of Uversa, the Seraphic voices have never erred in their presentations. You are here beginning to see something of the manner in which divinity encompasses the space of time and masters the time of space. You are here obtaining one of your first fleeting glimpses of the technique of the eternity cycle, divergent for the moment to assist the children of time in their tasks of mastering the difficult handicaps of space. And these phenomena are additional to the established universe technique of the reflective spirits. Though apparently deprived of the personal presence of the master spirits above and of the creator sons below, the ancients of days have at their command living beings attuned to cosmic mechanisms of reflective perfection and ultimate precision, whereby they may enjoy the reflective presence of all those exalted beings whose personal presence is denied them. By and through these means, and others unknown to you, God is potentially present on the headquarters of the superuniverses. The ancients of days perfectly deduce the Father's will by equating the spirit voice flash from above and the Michael voice flashes from below. Thus they may be unerringly certain in calculating the Father's will concerning the administrative affairs of the local universes. But to deduce the will of one of the gods from a knowledge of the other two, the three ancients of days must act together. Two would not be able to achieve the answer. And for this reason, even were there no others, the superuniverses are always presided over by three ancients of days, and not by one or even two. 4. The voice of the angelic hosts. The fourth primary Seraphim, and every seventh serial, prove to be angels peculiarly responsive to the sentiments of all orders of angels, including the Supernaphim above and the Seraphim below. Thus, the attitude of any commanding or supervising angel is immediately available for consideration at any council of the Ancients of Days. Never a day passes on your world that the chief of Seraphim on Urantia is not made conscious of the phenomenon of reflective transference, of being drawn upon from Uversa for some purpose. But unless forewarned by a solitary messenger, she remains wholly ignorant of what is sought and of how it is secured. These ministering spirits of time are constantly furnishing this sort of unconscious and certainly therefore unprejudiced testimony concerning the endless array of matters engaging the attention and counsel of the Ancients of Days and their associates. 5. Broadcast receivers. There is a special class of broadcast messages which are received only by these primary Seraphim. While they are not the regular broadcasters of Uversa, they work in liaison with the angels of the reflective voices for the purpose of synchronizing the reflective vision of the Ancients of Days with certain actual messages coming in over the established circuits of universe communication. Broadcast receivers are the fifth serials, the fifth primary Seraphim to be created, and every seventh one thereafter. 6. Transport personalities. These are the Seraphim who carry the pilgrims of time from the headquarters worlds of the superuniverses to the outer circle of Havona. They are the transport corps of the superuniverses, operating inward to paradise and outward to the worlds of their respective sectors. This corps is composed of the sixth primary Seraphim and every seventh one subsequently created. 7. The reserve corps. A very large group of Seraphim, the seventh primary serials, are held in reserve for the unclassified duties and the emergency assignments of the realms. Not being highly specialized, they can function fairly well in any of the capacities of their diverse associates. But such specialized work is undertaken only in emergencies. Their usual tasks are the performance of those generalized duties of a superuniverse which do not fall within the scope of the angels of specific assignment. 5. The secondary Seraphim. Seraphim of the secondary order are no less reflective than their primary fellows. Being classed as primary, secondary, and tertiary does not indicate a differential of status or function in the case of Seraphim. It merely denotes orders of procedure. Identical qualities are exhibited by all three groups in their activities. The seven reflective types of secondary Sekhanafim are assigned to the services of the coordinate Trinity origin associates of the Ancients of Days as follows. To the perfectors of wisdom, the voices of wisdom, the souls of philosophy, and the unions of souls. To the divine counselors, the hearts of counsel, the joys of existence, and the satisfactions of service. To the universal censors, the discerners of spirits. Like the primary order, this group is created serially, that is, the firstborn was a voice of wisdom, and the seventh thereafter was similar, and so with the six other types of these reflective angels. 1. The voice of wisdom. Certain of these Sekhanafim are in perpetual liaison with the living libraries of paradise, the custodians of knowledge belonging to the primary Sekhanafim. In specialized reflective service, the voices of wisdom are living, current, replete, and thoroughly reliable concentrations and focalizations of the coordinated wisdom of the universe of universes. To the well-nigh infinite volume of information circulating on the master circuits of the superuniverses, these superb beings are so reflective and selective, so sensitive, as to be able to segregate and receive the essence of wisdom and unerringly to transmit these jewels of mentation to their superiors, the perfectors of wisdom. And they so function that the perfectors of wisdom not only hear the actual and original expressions of this wisdom, but also reflectively see the very beings of high or lowly origin who gave voice to it. It is written, "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask." On Uversa, when it becomes necessary to arrive at the decisions of wisdom in the perplexing situations of the complex affairs of the superuniverse government, when both the wisdom of perfection and of practicability must be forthcoming, then do the perfectors of wisdom summon a battery of the voices of wisdom, and by the consummate skill of their order, so attune and directionize these living receivers of the enminded and circulating wisdom of the universe of universes, that presently, from these seraphic voices, there ensues a stream of the wisdom of divinity from the universe above, and a flood of the wisdom of practicality from the higher minds of the universes below. If confusion arises regarding the harmonization of these two versions of wisdom, immediate appeal is made to the divine counselors, who forthwith rule as to the proper combination of procedures. If there is any doubt as to the authenticity of something coming in from realms where rebellion has been rife, appeal is made to the censors, who, with their discerners of spirits, are able to rule immediately as to what manner of spirit actuated the advisor. So are the wisdom of the ages and the intellect of the moment ever present with the Ancients of Days, like an open book before their beneficent gaze. You can just faintly comprehend what all this means to those who are responsible for the conduct of the superuniverse governments. The immensity and the comprehensiveness of these transactions are quite beyond finite conception. When you stand, as I repeatedly have, in the special receiving chambers of the Temple of Wisdom on Uversa, and see all this in actual operation, you will be moved to adoration by the perfection of the complexity and by the surety of the working of the interplanetary communications of the universes. You will pay homage to the divine wisdom and goodness of the gods, who plan and execute with such superb technique. And these things actually happen, just as I have portrayed them. 2. The soul of philosophy. These wonderful teachers are also attached to the perfectors of wisdom, and when not otherwise directionized, remain in focal synchrony with the masters of philosophy on paradise. Think of stepping up to a huge, living mirror, as it were, but instead of beholding the likeness of your finite and material self, of perceiving a reflection of the wisdom of divinity and the philosophy of paradise. And if it becomes desirable to incarnate this philosophy of perfection, so to dilute it as to make it practical of application to and assimilation by the lowly peoples of the lower worlds, these living mirrors have only to turn their faces downward to reflect the standards and needs of another world or universe. By these very techniques do the perfectors of wisdom adapt decisions and recommendations to the real needs and actual status of the peoples and worlds under consideration, and always do they act in concert with the divine counselors and the universal censors. But the sublime repleteness of these transactions is beyond even my ability to comprehend. 3. The union of souls. Completing the triune staff of attachment to the perfecters of wisdom are these reflectors of the ideals and status of ethical relationships. Of all the problems in the universe requiring an exercise of the consummate wisdom of experience and adaptability, none are more important than those arising out of the relationships and associations of intelligent beings. Whether in human associations of commerce and trade, friendship and marriage, or in the liaisons of the angelic hosts, there continue to arise petty frictions, minor misunderstandings too trivial even to engage the attention of conciliators, but sufficiently irritating and disturbing to mar the smooth working of the universe if they were allowed to multiply and continue. Therefore, do the perfecters of wisdom make available the wise experience of their order as the oil of reconciliation for an entire superuniverse. In all this work, these wise men of the superuniverses are ably seconded by their reflective associates, the unions of souls, who make available current information regarding the status of the universe and concurrently portray the paradise ideal of the best adjustment of these perplexing problems. When not specifically directionized elsewhere, these Sekhanafim remain in reflective liaison with the interpreters of ethics on paradise. These are the angels who foster and promote the teamwork of all Orvantan. One of the most important lessons to be learned during your mortal career is teamwork. The spheres of perfection are manned by those who have mastered this art of working with other beings. Few are the duties in the universe for the lone servant. The higher you ascend, the more lonely you become when temporarily without the association of your fellow. 4. The heart of counsel. This is the first group of these reflective geniuses to be placed under the supervision of the divine counselors. Sekhanafim of this type are in possession of the facts of space, being selective for such data in the circuits of time. Especially are they reflective of the superaphic intelligence coordinators, but they are also selectively reflective of the counsel of all beings, whether of high or low estate. Whenever the divine counselors are called upon for important advice or decisions, they immediately requisition an ensemble of the hearts of counsel, and presently there is handed down a ruling which actually incorporates the coordinated wisdom and advice of the most competent minds of the entire superuniverse, all of which has been censored and revised in the light of the counsel of the high minds of Havona and even of Paradise. 5. The joy of existence. By nature, these beings are reflectively attuned to the superaphic harmony supervisors above and to certain of the seraphim below, but it is difficult to explain just what the members of this interesting group really do. Their principal activities are directed toward promoting reactions of joy among the various orders of the angelic hosts and the lower will creatures. The divine counselors to whom they are attached seldom use them for specific joy finding. In a more general manner, and in collaboration with the reversion directors, they function as joy clearing houses, seeking to upstep the pleasure reactions of the realms while trying to improve the humor taste, to develop a super humor among mortals and angels. They endeavor to demonstrate that there is inherent joy in free will existence, independent of all extraneous influences. And they are right, although they meet with great difficulty in inculcating this truth in the minds of primitive men. The higher spirit personalities and the angels are more quickly responsive to these educational efforts. 6. The satisfaction of service. These angels are highly reflective of the attitude of the directors of conduct on paradise, and functioning much as do the joys of existence, they strive to enhance the value of service and to augment the satisfactions to be derived therefrom. They have done much to illuminate the deferred rewards inherent in unselfish service, service for the extension of the kingdom of truth. The divine counselors to whom this order is attached utilize them to reflect from one world to another the benefits to be derived from spiritual service, and by using the performances of the best to inspire and encourage the mediocre, these Sekhanafim contribute immensely to the quality of devoted service in the superuniverses. Effective use is made of the fraternal competitive spirit by circulating to any one world information about what the others, particularly the best, are doing. A refreshing and wholesome rivalry is promoted, even among the seraphic hosts. 7. The Discerner of Spirits. A special liaison exists between the counselors and advisors of the second Havona Circle and these reflective angels. They are the only Sekhanafim attached to the universal censors, but are probably the most uniquely specialized of all their fellows. Regardless of the source or channel of information, no matter how meager the evidence at hand, when it is subjected to their reflective scrutiny, these discerners will forthwith inform us as to the true motive, the actual purpose, and the real nature of its origin. I marvel at the superb functioning of these angels, who so unerringly reflect the actual moral and spiritual character of any individual concerned in a focal exposure. The discerners of spirits